أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر وإن يروا آية يعرضوا ويقولوا سحر مستمر وكذبوا واتبعوا أهواءهم وكل أمر مستقر ولقد جاءهم من الأنباء ما فيه مزدجر حكمة بالغة فما تغني النذر فتول عنهم يوم يدعو الداعي إلى شيء نكر خش عن أبصارهم يخرجون من الأجداث كأنهم جراد منتشر مهطعين إلى الداع يقول الكافرون هذا يوم عصر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف خلق الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فنشكر الله. We thank Allah Ta'ala who has allowed us to come back together after having made Salat al-Maghrib, this fifth, the evening of the fifth of Dhul-Qi'dah, 1435, from the blessed months of Hajj and from the blessed sacred months of Islam. Allah Ta'ala has granted us His favor, guided us to Islam, and made it important to us to study His book and to gather together for that purpose. We thank Him for these blessings, and we ask Him to continue to grant us these blessings and to increase us in such blessings and to forgive us for our sins and transgressions. Ameen. We will begin, inshallah, this fall with a series of lectures from the tafsir of our great scholar, the Allama, the Usuli, the great scholar of the various sciences, Usul, Tafsir, and Fiqh, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, as we studied from his work previously. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless him in his work and to have mercy upon him and to give us a portion of that legacy that he left behind. Al-An, at this time, we will begin the study of a tremendous surah from the surahs of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Qamar, that which you have heard the beginning of its recitation, the first ayat. In our target today, our goal, insha'Allah Ta'ala, is to complete the study of the first eight verses from the words of our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. So we'll begin now in that book, that published book from Dar al-Thuriyya, that which begins with the tafsir of Al-Hujurat, Qaf, Al-Dhariyat, Al-Tur, Al-Najm, and now Al-Qamar. And remaining behind in this very volume is Ar-Rahman, Al-Waqi'ah, and Al-Hadid. And perhaps Allah Ta'ala may bless us to finish all of them, and with Him only and through Him only is success. We'll begin with Surah Al-Qamar, reading from page 261 of that printed book. And in the beginning of the recorded material that is also found on the charitable foundation set up in the Shaykh's name to serve his works, on the website, which is well known to all of you, and you can find on Mirath Publications.net, the page for this class. Mirathpublications.net. You can find on our research pages the links to the audio files available at the Shaykh's website to follow along. The best way to prepare for those looking to gain the greatest benefit in Arabic language and in tafsir and in all of the other benefits that may come for those who are humble enough to receive them, then the best way to prepare for a class is to pre-listen, meaning listen to the Shaykh's explanation, which is the metan, which is the text that we're looking at and reading. Listen to the Shaykh's tafsir, which is 13 minutes, actually. Everything we're doing today is based on 13 minutes of the Shaykh's original tafsir of the first 8 verses. So the first 13 minutes of that recording is the first 8 verses for today. As well, you can try to read along. That helps your Arabic too. You're working on two skills with Arabic at once. You're working on your listening skill and your reading skill, and you're actually combining those skills. And for those who know about language acquisition, when you integrate two skills together to bring in language, it increases the likelihood of success in acquiring that language. So take advantage of that as well. And then you're going to be reviewing that material and studying it in more detail here in the class. And then after the class, what would you do? Again, one more time, go back and listen to it and read it again. That's post-reading, post-listening. All of this should strengthen your Arabic language perhaps way more than you imagine or estimate. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, the one whose mercy reaches all of the creation, Ar-Rahim, the one whose mercy, a special kind of his mercy, is reserved only for the believers, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And that mercy that is indicated in the word Rahim is that mercy in the hereafter that is not for all of the creation, that it is only for the select few, those whom Allah Ta'ala has favored and guided. We ask that he make us from them. البسملة تقدم الكلام عليها. The basmala, the statement of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, has been explained previously. So we'll leave it as well. We've mentioned that on our lesson, so we'll also skip that and go right to اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. The sa'a has drawn very close. The sa'a is the hour, the time or the hour, and it means here the day of judgment. And the moon has split. And the moon has split in half. اقتربت بمعنى قربت. The word اقتربت for a feminine noun means قربت. Right? قربة, something that comes closer to you. It becomes what? قريب. The opposite of بعودة. To become بعيد. Right? And then you put the ta and the hamza in the beginning, and you have ibtada'a. Not ibtada'a. Ta'ada? Ibta'ada. Aywa? Ibta'ada. My brain wasn't working for a moment there. Ibta'ada. From ba'id as well. You have iqtaraba and qaruba from qarib, and you have ibta'ada and ba'uda from ba'id, right? The Shaykh is going to discuss what's the difference when you add these extra letters in there. What's the difference between qarubat and iqtarabat? The Shaykh is going to explain, Lakin iqtarabat bima'na qarubat. They have the meaning of being close. Both words have the meaning of something is drawing close. Lakin al-ulama'a yaquluna inna ziyadat al-mabna yadullu ala ziyadat al-ma'na. The scholars say that whenever you add letters onto a word, that there is some addition in meaning. There must be an addition to the meaning. وَهُنَا اقْتَرَبَتْ فِيهَا زِيَادَةُ الْمَبْنَى عَلَىٰ قَرُوبَتْ. Here, اقْتَرَبَتْ has extra letters that are not found in قَرُوبَتْ. وَزِيَادَةُ الْهَمْزَةُ وَالتَّاءُ. And the additional letters are the hamza in the beginning, the a sound, اقْتَرَبَتْ. And the ta, iqtaraba, on the wazn of ifta'ala. Iqtaraba, ifta'alat. Tayyib. Fayadullu ala anna al-ghurba qareebun jiddan. This indicates that the closeness of that appointed time is very close. It is an intensified way of saying it's close. فَمَعْنَ اقْتَرَبَتْ أَيْ قَرُوبَتْ جِدًّا. So the meaning of اقْتَرَبَتْ means it has something has come very, very close. Something has come extremely close. وَسَاعَةُ هِيَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the hour in reference here, or being referred to here, is the day of standing, the day of judgment. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ, and Allah the Most High has said, فِيهَا, regarding that, فَهَلْ يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَىٰ, are they waiting for something other than the hour, the day of judgment, to come upon them as a surprise, or to come upon them suddenly? فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا, however, or in reality, the signs, the major signs, or the signs of its coming have already come. أي علاماتها, the أشراط, the meaning of أشراطها are علاماتها, the signs, the indications, that those things that tell you that something is present or coming. ومن علاماتها بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and from the signs of the coming of the last day is the sending forth of the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فَإِنَّ بِعْثَةَ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَكَوْنَهُ خَاتَمَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ قَدْ قَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةِ. Verily, the dispatching of the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, proves that and him being the final seal of the prophets is a proof that indeed the last hour has approached. That the hour has approached. وَلِهَذَا حَقَّقَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ هَذَا بِقَوْلِهِ بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةُ كَهَاتَيْنِ, I have been sent forth, and the hour, and the last day, كَهَاتَيْنِ, and he put his two fingers up, huh? وَقَالَ بِأُسْبُعِهِ الْوُسْطَى وَالسَّبَّابَ, this is the sababa. Sababa from a seb. Someone makes seb, he says, you're a himar, you're a kalb. What does he do? Which finger does he use? He uses this one, right? Sababa, right? And this is called the wusta, the one in the middle, the one that we don't put up by itself. Alright, that's the one in the middle, huh? This one is the wusta. So the middle finger and the first finger, he put them together. Was sababatu qareebatun min al-wusta. Look how close the first finger is to the second finger, huh? لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا جُزْءٌ يَسِيرٌ مِقْدَارُ الظَّفَرُ, there's nothing between them except a tiny little space, this like the size of a fingernail, between the two fingers, the size of a fingertip. Nothing really between the two of them, the two of those things, huh? وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ قُرْبِهَا, and this shows that the hour is very close, or this shows the closeness of the hour. لَكِنَّ مَعَ ذَٰلِكَ كَمْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, with this closeness, how much time has there already taken place between us and the Messenger? May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. نَحْنُ فِي الْقَرْنِ الْخَامِسْ عَشَرْ الْهِجْرِي بَعْدَ بِعْثَةِ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, we're in the 15th century after the coming of the Messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. After the hijra that came after his dispatching by 13 years. بثلاثي عشرات سنة. Right? By 13 years. 13 years after his appointment as a prophet, he was given permission to make a hijra to Medina. We're 15 centuries after that. Well, ظاهر, and somewhere around the year 1400 is when the Shaykh was giving these lessons, as he seems to be pretty precise that it was, you know, around that time. وَمَعَ ذَٰلِكَ مَا زَالَتِ الدُّنْيَا بَاقِيَةً مِمَّا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّمَا مَضَىٰ طَوِيلٌ جِدًّا, however, we are still living in this worldly life and the hour has not come, which shows that what has proceeded before the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a very long history. So that in comparison, 1500 years is like this. That means what is before these fingers in terms of time is a very, very long time. So that the Messenger and our time is like this. Or the Messenger and the last hour, the last day is like this. And we are somewhere in the middle of that. So it's a very, very long period of time that has come before these last two time periods or markers of time in this illustration. حتى إن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عند غروب الشمس قال, and so much so that the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, he said one day, at the time when the sun was about to set, he said, إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ الدُّنْيَا يَعْنِي بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِمَنْ سَبَقَكُمْ إِلَّا كَمَا بَقِيَ مِنْ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. He said, there's nothing remaining of this worldly life, meaning as it relates to the entire history of the creation, except that which remains of your day in front of you here, this day of yours. And the sun was about to set, right? And that hadith was collected by al-Bukhari in his Muwaqqit al-Salat as part of his Sahih. One shaq al-qamar, and the moon split. And the moon has split. The hour has drawn near, and the moon has split. كَأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَشَارَ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ هَذَا مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ. As if Allah is telling us or indicating to us that this is one of those signs, that the last day is imminent, that it is very close, that the moon has split into two parts. وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ, and the moon has split. وَالْمَعْنَى أَنَّهُ صَارَ فِرْقَتَيْنِ تُمَيِّزُ بَعْضُهَا تَمَيَّزَ بَعْضُهَا عَنْ بَعْضٍ. It was split into two parts, both parts clearly and significantly separated from each other and distinguishable from each other. أَحَدُهُمَا عَلَى جَبَلِ أَبِي قُبَيْسٍ. One of the halves of the moon at this miraculous event was over a mountain of Bani Qubays, one of the mountains in Mecca. وَالثَّانِيَةُ عَلَى جَبْلِ قُعَيْقُعَانِ, upon another mountain, a very different mountain. Now the Shaykh is going to explain what that means in terms of distance. وَالثَّانِيَةُ عَلَى جَبْلِ قُعَيْقُعَانِ يَعْنِي فِلْقَةٌ عَلَى الصَّفَى وَفِلْقَةٌ عَلَى الْمَرْوَةِ. Meaning there was a part, a filqa. A filqa comes from falaqa. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Right? The الْفَالِقِ is الْخَالِقِ, the one who creates. الْفَلْقِ is a shaq, to cut things. Right? And from that, you have الْفَلَقِ. Right? The dawn, the cracking of the dawn, the breaking of the night into the daytime. From that you have the word filqa, which is used here by the Shaykh. Filqa means a nisf, or a shatr, or a half. So one half of the moon, one filqa, one split half, was over Safa, the mountain of Safa. You guys know about making sa'i between Safa and Marwa, right? So one was over the mountain of Safa, the other one was over the mountain of Marwa. Allahu Akbar, right? Not a simple line in the middle, like some people might imagine, like the Orientalists try to say that it was some kind of illusion done by slicing the moon with a sword to make the people's eyes think that the moon had split and there was just a line or something, or some very insignificant visual trick was played. La, the two sides of the two halves of the moon were actually split. That's something that Muslims are required to believe in, because it's been recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. It's been recorded and accepted by ijma' of the ummah. It's not been doubted by anyone, even amongst the kuffar. And we're going to read about how this was not something even planned by the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was not something that he knew was going to happen. It's something that happened impromptu, at the request of the disbelievers. So it wasn't like someone says he has a planned trick he's going to play on someone. He would have to find some way to set it up himself, right? Rather, this came from an impromptu request from the kuffar, with no possible way for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to set up any illusion. And of course, before his messengership, he was not known for illusions, deception, trickery, or anything of the sort. بخلاف, as opposed to many of the people who ascribe to the da'wah of Islam today, they think it's a virtue to be able to do magical illusions and magic tricks for the people with their hands and things like this. All of this, without a doubt, is misguidance. and it is discrediting oneself. When you come to the people and you say, look, I can do a trick, I'm going to make this pen disappear, and you do some hand movements, you're telling them, I have the ability to deceive you. I have the ability to trick you, and I'd like to take some time here away from whatever I could teach you that's beneficial and deceive you and trick you to make you laugh. All of this is nonsense, and all of this has nothing to do with the religion of Allah, the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the way of the Sahaba, the way of the upright Salaf, the Imams of this deen. And there is no excuse for people who are busy teaching Islam to involve themselves in such matters. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam never did a simple illusion, a trick to the people to make them laugh. And our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam had every motivation and every reason to make the Sahaba at ease and to relax and to enjoy his time with them. And he engaged in honest, wholesome joking with them. He engaged in relaxation. He talked about the days of Jahiliyyah with them in the masjid. He was very laid back, and he was very social with his companions. Yet he did not lie, not one time in his life. He did not tell a lie. And he warned us against lying in every shape and every form. And in every instance that you might think a lie might be beneficial, he warned us against it. For example, you have a guest, and your guest is feeling sad, you'd like to tell him a joke. So you say, okay, lying is haram, but you know, honoring the guest is a big, you know, part of Iman as a Muslim. So I'm going to tell a joke, a fictional joke. I'm going to make up a story about a bear walking with a rabbit, and the bear says something to the rabbit, and it's going to end in a funny way. And this is all for the sake of entertaining my guest, which is a shar'i goal, a goal that a Muslim should be involved in. I want to entertain my guest. I want to make my guest at ease. I want to show my iman by honoring my guest, making him happy and comfortable, right? So at this time, it should be allowed for me to lie. At this time, it's a major sin to lie in a joke. At this time, to joke with a lie, to talk about the bear said to the rabbit, and no bear ever said anything to a rabbit, like what you're saying. Just a simple thing like that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said what? وَيْلٌ لِلَّذِي يُحَدِّثَ الْقَوْمِ فَيَكْذِبْ لِيُضْحِكَ بِهِ الْقَوْمِ وَيْلٌ لَهُ Woe to him, the one who speaks to people and he lies in order to make them laugh. Woe to him, woe to him. Three times. It's collected by Imam Abu Dawud in his Sunnah. It's an authentic hadith, showing that not even to entertain a guest, not even to lighten up the mood, can you tell a lie as part of a fictional joke. And as our scholars throughout history have confirmed, this hadith indicates that what is mentioned in it is a major sin. When you mention the word, وَيْلٌ لَهُ, woe to someone who does that. That means it's not an ordinary sin. So be clear in your religion. Deception, trickery, deceit, these things have nothing to do with Islam. These things are forbidden in all of their forms. And these things would never, ever become part of the da'wah to Islam. Never in any way whatsoever. Because they're not the permissible practices of a Muslim in the first place. So how could they become part of a da'wah routine? A da'wah routine of joking, a da'wah routine of illusions, a da'wah routine of a mixture between jokes and illusions. And there are people selling courses for large amounts of money to receive or to give this kind of miseducation to the Muslims. To take scholarship in Islam and reduce it to that level where the sheikh or the teacher, the one who's giving the class, is now measured by a new yardstick, and that is how much he makes you laugh. So if you were to bring Sheikh Saleh and Fawzan, he's a loser. Get him out of here. He's a loser. He has no jokes. It's not funny at all. The new yardstick is here. Right? Fulan is the best sheikh because, wallahi, his classes are full of jokes. From beginning to end, I was just laughing and laughing. I couldn't believe what a great time I had. In reality, at the end of the class, how much knowledge of the book and the sunnah have you gained? How much understanding of the deen have you gained? How much did he open up for you, the deen of Allah, Azza wa Jal? Nothing. You just wasted your hour or your 2 hours and your $100 or your £80 and so on. You've wasted your money. You've given it to frauds and imposters and people who wish to change the very image of what it means to learn Islam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to rid the dawah of such criminals and to give us du'at that are honest and sincere and beneficial, and they help the ummah and they give insight to the ummah. Ameen. Our Shaykh is talking about the splitting of the moon and the reality of this splitting, that it wasn't an illusion, it was a reality. Half of the moon was over Safa, the other half of the moon was over Marwa, two mountains in Mecca. وَالْمَسَافَةُ السَّمَاوِيَّةُ فِي رُؤْيَ الْعَيْنِ مَا بَيْنَ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةِ بَعِيدَةٌ جِدًّا. When you think of the distance that's in the sky between Safa and Marwa, not the distance just on the ground, but that multiplies when you go up into the sky, what the distance would be for the moon to be half over here and half over there. It was not a simple line in the middle of the moon or something like that. It was a great sign and miracle from Allah Azza wa Jal. قَدْ تَسْتَغْرِقُ سَنَوَاتٍ. If you were to go from one to the other, it might take years to travel from one place to the other in the sky like that. إِنْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ بِلَحْظَةٍ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. However, the moon was split and made into these two positions in an instant by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Mighty and Majestic. وَتَبَاعَدَتْ أَجْزَاؤُهُ بِلَحْظَةٍ. Its two parts became this distant from each other in just a moment, in just an instant. لِأَنَّ قُرَيْشًا كَانُوا يَتَحَدَّوْنَ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَيَطْلُبُونَ مِنْهُ الْآيَاتِ. And that's because the Quraysh tribe had been requesting from the, or had requested from the Messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. They have been asking him for a miracle. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ رَدًّا عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah responded to them and revealed with regards to their request, قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. Say to them, O Muhammad, the ayat are from Allah, are only from Allah, meaning the signs and miracles. They are not my choice to bring them out whenever I want them, but they are for Allah, and they are from Allah. Rather, I am merely a plain warner. A plain warner, that's all I am. I'm not someone who creates miracles. أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Is it not sufficient that we have already sent down the book to them? The book upon you, and that it is being recited amongst them, or upon them? The Qur'an, as a miracle, Allah Ta'ala reminds us, even in the setup or in the prelude to the splitting of the moon, Allah reminded the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims and the Kuffar, that the Qur'an is sufficient as a miracle. And the Qur'an itself is the greatest of Allah's miracles. The most remaining, the most preserved miracle. As for now, how much of a miracle is the splitting of the moon to us specifically? It's a report that we read, that we believe in, because we know our deen, and we know the reliability of those who have relayed this deen to us. However, it's a report. It remains theoretical. It remains something that we have heard and not seen with our eyes. The Qur'an, we see it with our eyes. We hear it with our ears. We recite it upon our tongues. Subhanallah. We have it in our mushafs and we hold it. The speech of Allah Azza wa Jal is with us. Walhamdulillah. Right? The miracle that remains, the miracle that is ongoing, the miracle that provides guidance like none of the other miracles of Allah ever. The Qur'an, the ongoing, consistent, even within the Muslim who knows the entire Qur'an and he's memorized it from childhood, he'll find that the meanings of the Qur'an are mutajaddida, that they revive themselves, that the Qur'an has meanings that come out to him in different stages of his life that he never thought about. And remember, upon the worst tragedy the ummah has ever faced, the loss of our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Umar ibn al-Khattab was in distress, he had just lost and heard of the loss of his beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he was erring. He was in error. He was in plain error. He was saying, whoever says Muhammad has died is a munafiq, and I will strike his neck. Right? Who calmed him down? The only one in this ummah who's better than him. The only one who could have calmed him down. The only one who had that station with the people. It's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Ala ristik ibn al-Khattab. Relax, ibn al-Khattab. Right? من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات. Whoever has worshipped Muhammad, Muhammad has passed. He's dead. ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. Right? And whoever worships Allah, He is alive and He doesn't pass. What's the shahid he recited? وما محمد إلا رسولا قد خلت من قبله الرسول. Right? Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. And messengers of old have passed. Right? أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ إِن قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. If he dies or he is killed, will you turn back on your heels? And Umar said, it's as if I heard this verse for the very first time. Umar ibn Khattab read the Qur'an, he knew the Qur'an. But this verse didn't have its meaning in his life with the full impact that it could have until the very event that it was foretelling. SubhanAllah. So the Qur'an, even to the person who has memorized it, and he studied it, and he knows its meaning, he comes back to it, and it brings out a new meaning in his life. And it affects and impacts his life in new ways. No other book can do that. No other book in the history of literature has this impact on human life, like this book. Walhamdulillah. So the miracle of the Qur'an is beyond description. The miracle of the Qur'an is a miracle beyond all of the previous miracles of the previous prophets and those given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's from Surah Al-Ankabut, that verse, verses 50 and 51 from Surah Al-Ankabut. لكن لم يكفيهم. However, the Quran itself, that great miracle, that wasn't sufficient for them. They had to ask for a specific miracle. لأنهم معاندون لا يريدون الحق. They were arrogant, not really seeking out the truth. أتوا إلى الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. They came to the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. قالوا يا محمد أنت تقول إنك رسول وإنك يأتيك الخبر من السماء وكذا وكذا. And they said, oh Muhammad, you claim that you are a messenger, and you claim that revelation from the sky comes to you, revelation from the heavens comes to you, and such and such, and such and such, and other claims. فَأَرِنَا آيَةً. So give us a sign. فَأَشَارَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى الْقَمَرِ وَدَعَى رَبَّهُ فَانْفَلَقَ فِرْقَتَيْنِ بِلَحْظَةٍ. And so the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, pointed up to the sky, up to the moon, and he called upon his Lord, and the moon was split into two sides in an instant. And that narration is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. وَمَنْ يُفَلِّقُ هَذَا الْجِسْمَ الْعَظِيمِ الْأُفُقِيَ الْعَالِي إِلَّا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Who is it that's going to split this great celestial body that's so high up and so vast and far away, except the Lord of all the worlds, Azza wa Jal, the mighty and majestic. أَرَاهُمْ إِيَّاهُ. He showed them this miracle. وَلَكِنْ لَمْ يَنْفَعْهُمْ. However, it didn't benefit them. وَقَالُوا سَحَرَنَا مُحَمَّدٌ. They said, Muhammad has played a magical trick on us. He has done some magic to us. وَبَعْضُهُمْ قَالْ سِحْرُ الْقَمَرُ. It's the magic of the moon. وَأَنْكَرُوا. And they rejected it. وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. And some of them said to others, اسألوا المسافرين إذا قدموا هل رأوه أم لا. They said, ask the travelers when they arrive, have they seen it from outside of this area, huh, or not? فَصَارُوا يَسْأَلُونَ الْمُسَافِرِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ وَجْهٍ. So they went and they started asking all of the travelers. Remember Mecca, the nature of Mecca, a business center in this Jahiliyyah, or this new, as Islam was coming here in the very beginning of Islam, and in Jahiliyyah before that, it was a business center. It was a place for people to pass through and do a lot of business. And it was a religious center as well. So Mecca was on a pathway of business and a religious migration. So they would say, let's ask the people passing through, you know, did they see it when they, however long ago we asked them about, هَلْ رَأَوْهُ أَمْ لَا فَيَقُولُونَ نَعَمْ. And they would say, all of them would say, yes, they saw it. رَأَيْنَاهُ فِي اللَّيْلَةِ الْفُلَانِيَّ كَذَا وَكَذَا. And they would describe the night that they saw the splitting of the moon, right? وَهَذَا بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِلْقَرِيبِينَ مِنْهُمْ كَأَهْلِ الْجَزِيرَةِ مَثَلًا. And this was as it relates to those who are close by, the people of the Jazeera, the Arabian Peninsula, for example. أَمَّا الْبَعِيدُونَ فَقَدْ لَا يَرَوْنَهُ. As for those very far away, then it's possible that they didn't see it. And why is that? وَكَمَا نَعْلَمُ الْآنَ أَنَّ اللَّيْلَ هُنَا يَكُونُ نَهَارًا فِي مَكَانٍ آخَرٍ. As is well known to us now, that the night here could be the daytime somewhere else. So that's a clear reason why it would not have been seen outside of the area. أَوْلِ وُجُودِ غُيُومٍ وَضَبَابٍ كَثِيرٍ. أَوْلِ وُجُودِ غُيُومٍ وَضَبَابٍ كَثِيرٍ يَمْنَعُ الرُّؤْيَا. Or due to the presence of some clouds or some heavy, heavy overcast. The word ضباب is the plural of ضبابة, which is a سحابة مغطية للأرض. تغشي الأرض, right? كالدخان, covers the earth like smoke, like heavy, dark overcast. If that happened in a place, or if it was cloudy, then they would not have seen the moon if they were in the same matla, or the same time zone, I guess you could say. وَلِهَذَا, and based on this then, لَا يُمْكِنُ أَبَدًا, it's not ever possible, لِأَيِّ عَاقِلٍ, for any intellectual person, أَنْ يُنْكِرَ إِنْشِقَاقَ الْقَمَرِ, أَنْ يُنْكِرَ إِنْشِقَاقَ الْقَمَرِ, إِنْشِقَاقًا حِسِّيًّا, for it's not possible for someone to reject the concept of the actual moon physically splitting, right? لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يُذْكَرْ فِي تَارِيخَ الْيُنَانِ, based on the assumption that it's not been mentioned in Greek history books. Right? وَلَمْ يُذْكَرْ فِي تَارِيخَ الْهِنْدِ, or in Indian history books. And some people have looked to confirm that it was in, you know, at the same era or the same years. Did the other nations mention it? I've heard mention of a Chinese document that documented something. I don't know if it's authentic. It can be investigated. But there was some event in the sky recorded in Chinese history about the time of the splitting of the moon. It's not entirely clear to me. If one of you want to look into that and see, was there a Chinese historical report that corresponds with that or not? But when you don't find, if you don't find, and when you don't find, you know, other countries and other geographical areas having a report of the splitting of the moon, then realize that it's very possible that they didn't see it. It wasn't the nighttime for them, or they were not able to view it for any number of reasons. And just because they didn't view it, it doesn't mean it didn't happen, as we have so many authentic narrations that have described it, even from the disbelievers' reports. هَذَا لَيْسَ حُجَّةً يَبْطُلُ بِهِ مَا ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ. Just because it's not in the Greek or Indian history books, it could not reject, that would not allow us to nullify authentic reports in the two sahihs of al-Bukhari and Muslim وغيرهما and other books. مِنْ أَنَّ الْقَمَرَ انْشَقَّ فِعْلًا انْشِقَاقًا حِسِيًّا. Reporting or describing that, yes, the moon split with a real physical splitting in reality. وَنَحْنُ نُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ الْقَادِرَ عَلَى أَنْ يَطْوِيَ السَّمَاوَاتِ بِيَمِينِهِ كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِ لِلْكُتُبِ. We believe firmly that the one who's able to grasp and roll up the entire heavens in his right hand, like scrolls are rolled up, right? قادر على أن يفرق القمر فرقتين. he would be even more so, it would be even more so easy for him to split the moon, only one of the things in the heavens, into two parts. وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ. And the believer also believes that what? Nothing is beyond the capability of Allah. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. And there is nothing that can escape Allah, or there's nothing that is outside of the capabilities of Allah in the heavens and nothing on earth. Verily, He is all-knowing and all-capable. And in that ayat is the refutation of those who try to limit the capability of Allah by saying Allah can't do this and Allah can't do that, playing games with words, making statements to draw attention to themselves. We speak about Allah Azza wa Jal with words of honor and respect and glorification. We don't speak about Allah Azza wa Jal with things to draw attention to ourselves. Saying, you know that Allah, there's a lot of things Allah can't do. And then when every Muslim looks at you like you're crazy. I have a whole list of things Allah can't do. Every Muslim is saying, come on, there are some things Allah can't do. Yeah, Allah can't die. And he starts with the philosophy. Allah can't die. Do you honestly wish to say that Allah's capabilities are limited now? Because He will not die. It is not befitting for Him to die. You want to say, therefore, Allah cannot die. And now I can begin to attack the Qudra al-Ilahiyya, the abilities and the capabilities of Allah, which Ahl Sunnah affirm as being absolute, perfect, unlimited, uninhibited, unrestricted by anything. Allah is ala kulli shay'in qadir, how many times in the Quran? Capable of anything. Someone to come and say, no, I meant can't, like, you know, you can't drink in the masjid. Which means what? It's not appropriate. You know, you can't pray without wudu. And physically, you can stand up and make salat with wudu, but you can't do it, it's not allowed, it's not appropriate. Then that's what I meant by can't. Then why did you say a statement about Allah Azza wa Jal that caused the drops of the jaws of the Muslims to drop? Why do you speak about Allah and say Allah can't do some things? And every Muslim said, is shocked and is horrified that you now will mention some things that Allah can't do. And you meant can't like it's not appropriate. Speak with language about Allah Azza wa Jal that is appropriate. Say it is not befitting for Allah. Allah has chosen from His divine wisdom. While He is capable of all things, He has chosen not to have a son. Instead of saying Allah can't have a son. Say Allah is all capable. He can do whatever He likes. He has chosen from His wisdom, from His knowledge, from His complete ability, He has chosen not to have a son. Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's not befitting for Him to have a son. He has informed us of that. And don't go into limiting the Qudra and saying Allah is unable to do some things. That is not how Ahlul Sunnah speak about Allah Azza wa Jal. We speak about Allah Azza wa Jal not with shock and awe terminology. We speak about Allah Azza wa Jal with veneration, respect, love, speech of ibadah, speech of those who worship their worshipped one. And they cherish and adore their Lord. They don't speak with shock and awe and draw attention statements about Allah Azza wa Jal. We watch our mouth and we watch our tongues. When we speak about Allah Azza wa Jal, we speak about Allah Azza wa Jal with respect, with the truth. We only describe Allah with what He has described Himself with. There is no free speech when it comes to Rabbul Alameen. There is no freedom of expression when it comes to talking about Allah and His book and His revelation, His halal and His haram. There is only what? Al-inqiyadu wa ta'a wa naqal as-sahih. There is submission. There is willful submission in Islam, and there is narration of what Allah Azza wa Jal has said. Understanding those reports. No free speech, no freedom of expression, no shock and awe statements. Those are repulsive and disgusting and not befitting of a Muslim to have on his tongue speech about Allah Azza wa Jal in such a way. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. It's nothing in the heavens or on the earth is beyond Allah's capability. Verily, He is the all-knowing and the all capable. That's from Surah Fatir, Surah Al-Fatir. وَلِهَذَا لَا وَجْهَ لِإِنْكَارِ مَنْ أَنْكَرَ ذَلِكَ مِمَّنْ يَنْتَسِبُونَ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. And based on this, there is no angle for anyone who would reject this from those who ascribe to the religion of Islam. وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّ الْأَفْلَاكَ السَّمَاوِيَّةَ لَا يُمْكِنُ أَنْ تَتَغَيَّرَ. And they say that the heavenly, so the celestial bodies in their movements, it's not possible for them to change their courses or to go against their normal routines. It's not possible. Right? This is what they claim. نَقُولُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. We say Allah is greater. We say Allah is أكبر. Meaning greater, more powerful than their estimation. When they say it's not possible for the moon to do something like that because they all run their courses in the heavens and all of that, it's not possible. You have highly and gravely underestimated the Qudra, the power of your Lord, the one who created those things and set them in their places, to say that they can't change. Who is going to make the sun rise from the west? Who is going to change the entire earth on Yawm al-Qiyamah, so the earth will be something else? Who is going to do all of that? Who is the one who produced all of these things without any help from the beginning? So why would you say it's not possible for the moon to change and to be split in half and so on? نقول الله أكبر. We say Allah is greater. من الذي خلق الأفلاك السماوية أليس الله؟ Who is the one who created all the celestial bodies? Is it not Allah? Bala, of course it is. إذن هو قادر على أن يغيرها. He's the one who created them in the first place. So he is most capable of changing them however he likes. إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. His affair when he wants something done is that he merely says be, and it is. That's from Surah Yasin, the 82nd verse. فانفلق فانشقاق القمر انشقاق حسي. So then the splitting of the moon, it was a real physical split, a real physical cracking splitting of the moon. انفلق فرقتين, it split into two parts. ورآه الناس وشاهدوه ولكن المكابرة المعاندة لا يقبل شيئا. The people saw it, the people witnessed it. However, the arrogant person full of pride will not accept anything. ولهذا قال وإن يروا آية يعرضوا. Listen, وإن يروا, إدغام. وإن يروا آية يعرضوا ويقولوا سحر مستمر. And if they were to see an ayah, like the splitting of the moon, they say, or they turn away. They turn away. يعرضوا from al-i'rad. They turn away. Ayah, نكرة في سياق الشرط. The word ayah is indefinite in a passage that's talking about a condition or an if condition. If they were to see an ayah, then the jawab, a shart, would be majzum. يُعْرِضُ, not يُعْرِضُونَ, but يُعْرِضُ وَيَقُولُ without the noon. هُذِفَتْ النُّون, because it's what? Majzum, because of the shart. It's the condition that it is a response to, or it's an answer to that condition, or the fulfillment of that condition. آية يرونها يعرضون عنها. أي آية يرونها يعرضون عنها ولا يقبلونها. Meaning any sign that they would see, any miracle that they would be given a view of, they would turn away from it and they would not accept it. ويجمعون بين الإعراض وبين الإنكار باللسان. And they combine between two issues. One is turning away physically, and the other issue is rejecting something verbally. They would do two things. يُعْرِضُ وَيَقُولُ. They would turn away and they would say verbally. Right? يُعْرِضُ أي بِقُلُوبِهِمْ وَأَبْدَانِهِمْ. They would turn away with their hearts and their bodies, turning away from the report or the miracle. وَيَقُولُ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. And they would say upon their tongues, sihrun mustamir, ongoing magic that just keeps going. Here the Shaykh is going to talk about the two possible meanings of ongoing, mustamir, from marra, and then istamarra, to go on, to continue. I think you use that in common in Arabic a lot, right? Shay mustamir. Nastamir nahnu. Nastamir. Let's continue. Right? Ay hadha sihr. They're saying this is magic. والسحر لا يؤثر في قلب الأعيان. While magic is not something that really changes the physical properties of things. Magic is based on illusions. It doesn't actually change things from a rock into something or from a rope into a snake. But it is an illusion that you think it is a snake. ولكن يؤثر في رؤية الأعيان. It only has its effect on the eyes, the view of the person. والدليل أن موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام لما ألقى السحرة سحرهم. And the proof is in the story of Musa. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. When the magicians put their magic out there, كان يخيل إليه من سحرهم أنها تسعى حية. It was something that was made to seem to him visually that those ropes and staffs were snakes slithering about. وانقلب الوادي كله حيات تسعى. And it was made to seem that the whole valley had been turned into snakes slithering about. حتى إن موسى أوجس في نفسه خيفة من هول ما رأى. All the way, or so much so, that Musa felt an inner kind of fear from what he was witnessing. From the terrifying visual event that was in front of him. لكن هذه الحبال والعصي لم تنقلب إلى حيات. However, in reality, these ropes and these staffs that were thrown by the magicians of Pharaoh's court did not change physically. Their structure did not change into snakes. That did not happen. Right? لكن حسب نظر الرأي أنها حيات. According to the view or the viewpoint or the vantage point of those witnesses, they saw them as snakes slithering about. فهم يقولون سحرنا محمد. So the people were saying, Muhammad has done magic to us like that. Muhammad has performed an illusionary trick upon us. And what's amazing is that those same people that I mentioned to you today doing magic tricks and jokes and all of that, they do magic tricks and they say, we're only doing illusions. We're only doing visual illusions. It's not real magic. Look what you just read. The magic of Fir'aun's magicians was visual illusions. The magic that is described in the Quran and warned against. That which, when Musa called them to Islam, they repented from it and they made tawbah openly from their sihr for a condition for their Islam to be acceptable. Right? People come today and they say what? It's not real magic. It's only visual illusions. The real magic in the Quran has been attributed to the sorcerers of Fir'aun's court, and they were doing visual illusions. Don't allow people to play games with your religion. Understanding magic in its two major forms, khayali and haqiqi, is a very important bab, a very important part of understanding your tawheed. Because there are many people who would like to deviate you away from your tawheed through magic, either as entertainment and illusions, or through the possibility of getting you back with your wife and you're having difficulties, and just bring me some of her menstrual blood, right? And bring me her mother's name, and all those signs of the magician will come up, and they're going to ask some jinn to have some effect, or they're going to give you a potion for your wife to drink, all of these things. So if you're firm upon tawheed, as soon as you see these signs pop up with someone, whether it be, I have watched this, I'm going to make this book disappear. See the book, everybody? I'm going to make it disappear. As soon as you see this kind of playing games, you say, I'm a Muslim, I'm upon tawheed, I have no interest in this action, and you must get up and leave. Or someone says to you, I know someone who knows some secrets and some ways to get your boss to love you more in the company, to get you a raise, to get your wife into you more, or to turn so-and-so away from so-and-so if you want to ruin his life. Come here, I can let you in on some inside information that I have. You say, as a Muslim, right? I'm a person upon tawheed. I want to worship Allah without the kufr of magic. I want to worship Allah Azza wa Jal without magic in my life. And you remove yourself from the situation. And alhamdulillah, you're in the land of the Muslims with Muslim governments, and in this place, they kill people involved in magic. Walhamdulillah. Himayatun lilmujtama'. You are in the land of Tawheed. Magicians are caught, convicted, and murdered, not murdered, put to death. They are put to death, rightfully so. Capital punishment, right? And in the West, for the critics of Islam, they used to do that back when their societies were wholesome. When they found people who would corrupt families, corrupt the society with magical spells, they believed in the unseen. They had knowledge of their book. They had knowledge of their religion. They knew that these things are evil and these things corrupt the society from the family level, and of course from there, the whole society becomes corrupt. So they would protect their society by killing magicians all throughout history. Now, in the time of atheists, when they say we don't believe in anything beyond what we can touch and study, they say there's no such thing as magic. Magic is just camera tricks and visual things and Chris Angel and the TV show with a guy doing cards and things. That's all magic is. There are no jinn. There are no demons. There's nothing to call on. There is no esoteric plane with other beings alive and all of that. We don't believe in another world or dimension of other beings and all of that. We can't study that. We can't see it. We can't prove it. So therefore we reject it. And this is what the majority of the modern-minded people are upon today. Of course, the non-Muslims. So in this era, Muslims are giving in to that. And Muslims are saying what? Well, it's just magic. Magic is just tricks and visual things. It's just bending something a certain way and making it look like something, and it's no harm. If I ask you to pick a card out of a deck, am I going to be a kafir? Just because I said pick a card, I'm a disbeliever. Come on, they start with these little basic issues. And you know the way of these entertainers. The very first thing is pick a card. The next thing, he's sawing a woman in half. Am I right? Pick a card. Does it stop and end with picking cards and that's the end of it? Or does it go into start pulling things out of different places, and here I have something here? And the next step is what? You know, I have a voodoo doll here. Watch this. Hold your right hand up. I'm going to poke the voodoo doll. Tell me if you feel anything. And then you feel something in your hand and you start believing this guy has powers. And it started with the card trick. It started with a coin disappeared. You know, watch this coin. Bang, it's gone. So don't allow people to trick you and say, it's just a coin trick. It's just a card. I mean, come on. I just put a card in the deck and played with it with my hand. That's the madkhal. The same way someone would tell you, come on, it's just this woman here. She just needs a ride to her mother's house. Right? Khalwa, being alone with her. Please, she really needs to visit her sick mother. Can't you just be a nice person and just ride this girl to her mother's house to visit her mother? Right? That's the beginning. As a Muslim who knows your deen, you say, I wish I could. Does she have a mahram with her? Can I pick her up with her brother? Can I, you know, you want to help, but you can't go with the one-on-one thing, because that's the madkhal, that's the doorway, that once you go in there, everything starts opening up after that. And in Islam, we have wisdom, we have foresight. We don't allow ourselves to lend ourselves to those things. When that is a pathway that only leads to something haram, then the very first step along that pathway is haram. So the card trick that leads down to that path of Ouija boards and eventually into calling on demons and all of that, we say the card tricks are impermissible. And we stay away from them, because it's the very first step on a very dark and slippery downhill path. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
during the recent Dawra, one of the little benefits that I got from our elder Shaykh Ubayd ibn Abdullah al-Jabiri, hafidhahullah ta'ala, is when he stopped for the adhan, he made a lot of dua after the adhan. He said, make dua at this time. He said, take advantage of the time between the adhan and the iqama to make dua in general, because it is a time that dua is accepted. And of course, most of us knew that, but the reminder is always beneficial, right? May Allah Ta'ala preserve Shaykh Ubayd, and may Allah Ta'ala have mercy on our Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala forgive him and grant us some of his knowledge and give us fiqh in the religion. Tayyib. Mustamir, the word here is mustamir. Or no, فَهُمْ يَقُولُونَ. In the third line on page 264, فَهُمْ يَقُولُونَ سَحَرَنَا مُحَمَّدٌ حَتَّى كَانَتْ أَعْيُنُنَا تَرَى الْقَمَرَ وَهُوَ وَاحِدٌ تَرَاهُ فِرْقَتَيْنِ. So Muhammad has put magic on us so that when we saw the moon, which is one solid or one single object, we were made to see it as two objects because of his magic. That was there. Their claim when they said sihrun mustamir, any some ongoing magic has been done to us. وَيَقُولُونَ sihrun mustamir, and they were saying magic, ongoing magic. Mustamir qila, two possible meanings for mustamir, right? Qila إِنَّ الْمَعْنَى زَائِلٌ ذَاهِبٌ مِنْ مَرَّ الشَّيْءِ إِذَا تَجَاوَزَهُ. The meaning is possibly that it is something fading away and going, something being replaced, something that's going away quickly. Mustamir, from marra, it's going, it's murur, it's from murur or mirar, going away, right? وَقِيلَ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا سِحْرٌ وَلَنْ يَسْتَقِرَّ وَلَا قَرَارَ لَهُ. They're saying this is temporary, it's something that's going away fast. You won't see this remain like that, right? That was, what answer to this miracle is that? What kind of answer? To seeing the moon split into two. Oh, it's going to go back. Can you imagine this response? That's not real. It's going to go back. So who just split it open for you like what you asked? Who just split the moon into two parts? You're saying your response is what? Oh, that's just temporary. What a response. The moon is split one part over Safa and one part over Marwa, and your response is that's just temporary. Allahu Akbar. Right? Had it been left in two parts, they would have said, now the moon is imperfect. Now the person who made the moon has made an imperfect moon. They would have had any answer just to reject it. وَقِيلَ مُسْتَمِرٌ يَعْنِي أَنَّ كُلَّ الْآيَاتِ أَلَّتِي يَأْتِي بِهَا سِحْرٌ أي مستمر من مرار الشيء ودوام الشيء. Every sign, every miracle that he has come with as a result of magic. And this meaning that every single thing he has, every verse revealed, all the miraculous verses of Quran that he has, and all the other miraculous events that he was involved in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are mustamir, ongoing. And this is closer to the meaning of mustamir that you and I know, and we use in our language here. Ongoing, continual, perpetual, repetitive, mustamir, right? So one event after another event. This is another of those magic tricks that he does. That's the second possible understanding. So one is that it's something that's going away quickly. The other meaning was that it's something that's part of a series of events of magic. Just another magic trick, as if to say, just another of those many magic tricks that he does. Right? وَأَيَّنْ كَانَ فَإِنَّهُمْ أَنْكَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا. Whichever meaning is correct, the reality is that they rejected it and they disbelieved in it. Right? وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَكَذَّبُوا. And thus Allah said, and they have rejected. أَيْ كَذَّبُوا النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. They have rejected the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِهِ. And they have rejected his miracles or his signs. وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. And they followed their desires. أي ما يريدون من الباطل. They followed after that which they wanted to do, a falsehood. وكل أمر مستقر. And every affair has its place, or its final place where it settles. It's mustaqar. And it's mustaqir, has its place where it exists. Everything will go back to its place. أَيْكُلُّ أَمْرٍ لَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ قَرَارٍ. Everything will settle and have its place that it is, that it settles into. فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْمُكَذِّبُونَ قَرَارُهُمْ الذُّلُّ وَالْخُسْرَانِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. So those disbelieving rejectors, their qarar, their place of settling is a place of humiliation, status of humiliation and loss in the dunya, in this worldly life. وَالنَّارُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, and the fire in the hereafter. وَالنَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَهُ أَمْرُهُمْ, or قَرَارُهُمْ would be better here to say, and the Prophet, and may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, and those who follow him, their affair is مُسْتَقِرْ, it is settled, it is fixed and firm in its place. بِالنَّصْرِ وَالتَّأْيِيدِ, they are aided and assisted. فِي الدُّنْيَا, meaning by Allah in this worldly life. وَالْجَنَّةِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, and their position and their place is paradise in the hereafter. جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْهُمْ, the Shaykh said in the audio, جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْهُمْ, they took out إِيَّاكُمْ for some reason. May Allah make me and all of you from those people. With that, we'll draw a very small, faint line with our pencils at the end of that paragraph that can be erased next time, or can be left as a historical marker of the end of one lesson and the beginning of another. And we say, Allah Ta'ala knows best. وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. If there are any corrections, questions or concerns directly related to the material that we looked at today or that we discussed today, and let them be shared at this point. Otherwise, we'll break now, leaving a good amount of time for some much needed dua between the adhan and the iqamah. And a reminder about a new class starting Friday morning after Fajr. Not here, but in Masjid Salimiyah, Jami' Salimiyah, right? That's in Hayyul Waha. After Fajr on Fridays. That's the Usul al-Tafsir that I promised you earlier, that I intended originally to continue with here. But it slipped my mind and we scheduled Tafsir al-Qamar. Tayyib, so we'll start with this. For those of you who are interested, you're welcome. You'll be with us?
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be recorded and broadcast, not live, but recorded later by Miraf. Insha'Allah Ta'ala, this is the usul of tafsir, foundational principles in the science of tafsir, a summary of that science written by the great scholar Shaykh al-Islam Ahmad ibn Abdul Halim ibn Taymiyyah, who died in 728. It was explained by our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. We'll be reading that explanation, the text of Ibn Taymiyyah's work, and the explanation of Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, to understand more about those foundational principles and guidelines that we can use to understand, firstly, the Qur'an on our own, and the books of tafsir as well, to understand that language that the scholars of tafsir use when they start talking about different technical issues about revelations of verses and specific and general verses and so on. We'll get some experience dealing with that terminology and some examples through that book, insha'Allah ta'ala. Both classes, starting next week, will have four sessions until the Hajj break. All right? So we will have five, including this one, for Tafsir of Al-Qamar. And then we have four more, along with the start of the next class, next Friday morning. Four of those classes and four of this class, insha'Allah ta'ala. This book is available everywhere. Yeah, all of the books of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. They're even available on his website as a download. If you want to download it legally, from the Sheikh's website with permission and everything, download it legally, put it on a tab and all of that. I don't recommend that, but if you can't find it printed, then that's always an option. Maktabat al-Shinkriti has lots of books. Maktabat Miras, Maktabat Muayyid, Maktabat Ibn Jawzi, all of those on Ba'a Khashab Street. Naam. Tafaddal if you want to see it. خلاص وصلى الله وسلم وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.